Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of the PensCast Mailbag. I am your host, Garrett Behanna. Alongside me, fellow contributing writer over at Pensburg.com, it is Robbie Noggle, and the newest addition to the Skating Penguin Network, it is the one and only Snail. Gentlemen, we are back this week after I took the week off last week, and I very much enjoyed the vacation that I had in Deep Creek, Maryland. Gave me a nice chance to recharge the batteries and, more importantly, get away from Robbie, get as far away from Robbie as I possibly could. I kid, of course. But we are back, and I made the joke last time that we were recording that I thought the Erik Karlsson trade or news on Erik Karlsson would have broke while I was on vacation. That did not happen. Now we are into the real dog days of summer and the dog days of the NHL calendar as we await for any news regarding where Erik Karlsson may end up, whether it be the Pittsburgh Penguins or the potentially Carolina Hurricanes, and we'll wait for the start of training camp over the next couple of weeks. But until then, this week we have an 11-question mailbag from a couple of different question askers who are no stranger to the PensCast mailbag. We'll start off, Robbie, you get question number one. Snail will get question number two. I will take question number three, and we will rotate in that order until all of the questions are answered. So with that being said, Robbie, question number one comes from Tony Niekanen. And Tony wants to know, give me the top five of Pittsburgh. And Tony says, what are the top five reasons to visit Pittsburgh besides the Penguins?
Yeah, a lot of great reasons to visit the city of Pittsburgh. And it doesn't have to be anything that even costs money. You can, the city's beautiful. You can just go downtown. The downtown is great. There's great food in Pittsburgh. There's great culture in Pittsburgh, great history in Pittsburgh. But I'll give you kind of what I think are five things that kind of make this this list. And number one, I'm going to go just, and I mentioned it kind of in the intro there, the food. The food in Pittsburgh, in my opinion, is amazing. And not, I'm not talking just like your local Permane Brothers or like local hotspots. I'm talking the different ethnic food. It's a very ethnic city. Italian, Polish, Czech, any of the Eastern European countries when they migrated over. Great bars, great, just a great food scene in the city of Pittsburgh. And then, and that's, and then you throw in your local places like Permane's and all the Pittsburgh, quote unquote Pittsburgh places. As well, the food scene in Pittsburgh is great. So I'll go with that. A river cruise, Gateway Clipper. Great. It's a great way to see the city from a different angle. Not many cities can really provide that sort of experience. So hop on the Gateway Clipper, take a different view of the city as well. As a sports fan, I'm going to say, as much as it pains me to say this, go see a Pirate game. Beautiful stadium. I know a lot of people love to do the see all the ballparks kind of thing. Taking a Pirate game if you're here between like April and September, one of the best ballparks in America, definitely go check it out. Okay, trying to think, I think that's three. Let me give you two more here. There's a bevy of museums. You have the Carnegie Science Museum, the Roberto Clemente Museum, the Heinz History Center, Carnegie Science Center, a ton of great museums to go check out if it's a if it's a hot day or a cold day and you want to get into some shelter, go check out one of the many, many museums to see in Pittsburgh. It's a great experience, and there's options literally all over the place. And last but not least, number five, let me think of what number five can be here. Oh, you got to experience the Fort Pitt tunnels, right? I mean, or that or the Squirrel Hill tunnels. No, I'm just kidding.
Did you mention the bridges?
That's kind of like seeing the city. There is a ton of bridges. There's bridges everywhere. The big yellow bridges that you see on like overhead shots during sporting events. Just take a walk around town. Just go visit the city, learn the city, and just experience it. It's really, I think, the best thing to do about Pittsburgh. It's just, again, it has its own culture, its own atmosphere. It's a very blue-collar city still. Go out and enjoy it. Eat some good food and take in the sights and really learn about the city is what I'd recommend.
Maybe I'm dumb, but like, is the Hershey Chocolate Factory by you
not
guys?
Not even close. Like not five even close. Hours, probably right. Like 5 hours to the east. It's close. It's much closer to Philly. Yeah. So if you're in Pennsylvania and you want to go get some good chocolate, you can head out east. But Hershey's not close to Pittsburgh. It's on the opposite side of the state. Plenty of other good food options, though. I mean, Garrett, I know you can back that up. Plenty of great food to eat in Pittsburgh, good festivals, stuff going on all the time.
I agree with Robbie. The food here is amazing. The landmarks, I'm a history nerd, so some of the historical landmarks are amazing as well. Yeah, we'll just leave it at that. And Robbie, take it away for question number two.
All right, this one's going to Snail. And again, it's from Tony Nakunin. One way to build a roster is to have two offensive lines, which you deploy the power play guys to, and two defensive lines that have the PK guys on. For example, Finland uses this for their very successful national team. Are we too fixated on creating an offensive third line?
This kind of got me thinking a little bit back to 2016-17, and the Penguins had the HBK line. Basically, to answer your question, I don't think we're too fixated on creating offensive third lines because you've seen it work in these deep runs by Pittsburgh and Tampa, specifically the, you know, two last teams to win back-to-back Stanley Cup championships in a long time. You look at Pittsburgh with HBK line, you had Kessel, Hagelin, Bonino. They were fast, forechecked, and then kind of, I guess you could even say maybe a little bit of an embarrassment of riches with Phil Kessel being on your third line, future Hall of Famer. And then you have Tampa, who had Goudreau, Coleman, and Gord, and they were also like a lot of tenacity on that third line. They could chip in offensively, forechecks. Like they were exciting to watch when Tampa was in their back-to-backs. So I think it's just like a proven thing. Like if you can have that depth, if you can afford that depth and have that punch on your third line, yeah, I mean, why not try to, you know? I think it's proven to work. I think like when you watched those, if you guys remember watching those back-to-back runs from both of those teams, you could like, I mean, they were talked about all the time. Like I remember specifically Tampa Bay, like the name, like you constantly heard them talking about, whether it's on radio or TV, just the impact of that third line. So to answer your question, I don't think we're too fixated on it because it's proven to work. There was a question about making all-time Penguins lines, and I can't believe Hossa and Naslin weren't said. Like you guys said, there are so many great players that have come through here.
Yeah, I can't remember the list off of the top of my head, the lineup that Robbie constructed. I think this was a question for him 2 weeks ago. I can't remember off the top of my head who he selected because it was four forward lines, three defense pairings, and two goaltenders. But if I can remember, I don't think Robbie mentioned like the likes of Martin Straka or Jordan Staal. I think he did mention Phil Kessel at one point. I don't think he mentioned Max Talbot or Matt Cullen
or
Luke Robitaille, Jerome Ginla, Craig Adams. For as long as he played, Craig Adams wasn't the kind of hockey player that I enjoyed watching, but Craig Adams was the kind of grinder, mucker player that you wanted on your fourth line to really get that balanced approach. I mean, you weren't going to ice four full lines of pure offense. You were going to need to get that buy-in from everyone in the team, and everyone in the team had to succeed in their varying different roles. I don't know if Robbie mentioned Larry Murphy when talking about the defense pairings, but Larry Murphy, Sergei Gonchar, Brooks Orpik, Rob Scuderi, a hypothetical pair of Orpik and Scuderi. Again, it's not pretty hockey. It's not, to borrow a phrase from soccer, it's not tiki-taka kind of pretty passing. It's more of a in-your-face, disgusting, gritty style of hockey to be played. So to Brian's credit, like he was saying, so many players have come through this town in the span of the last 35 to 40 years alone, when the Penguins really began to become relevant and dominant throughout the league, that we have become spoiled. And like Snail mentioned earlier, it's almost been an embarrassment of riches in Pittsburgh to have so many elite players come through this town and help the Penguins win championships over a couple of different eras. Question number four, I believe, goes to Robbie. Go back to Robbie here. This question comes from Brian. Robbie, who, if you were in the NHL, who is on your five-team no-trade list?
Oh, that's a good question. My five-team no-trade list. So where do I not want to live? I'm going to put Philly on there just because of the Flyers. I could probably stand living in D.C., even though I don't like the Capitals. I could probably stand D.C. So I'm going to put the Flyers on there. I'm going to put Winnipeg on there. So 1-2, Winnipeg, St. Louis. And St. Louis isn't terrible, but there's better places to live than St. Louis. 1-2, that's 3. I had to put Arizona on there just because of everything. Just the collective whole of everything with the Coyotes. I'm sure Phoenix and Glendale and Scottsdale are all nice and fun, but the collective whole, I'd have to put Arizona on there. And that's 4. Give me 5. Obviously, the complete crap hole that is Seattle. We don't want to live there. No, I'm kidding.
5. Let's go with...
I'm going to go with Detroit. It's always cold in the D. Yeah, so Philly, Detroit, Winnipeg, Arizona, and St. Louis. Question number 5 from Brian. This one's going to Snail. How would you spend your day with the Stanley Cup?
Well, this is really easy. I've thought about this scenario a million times. If I won the Stanley Cup and I had my day with it, since this is all hypothetical, I'm going to bring up, there's a very special dive bar that just recently closed down, and I had a lot of memories there. But again, this is all hypothetical. Let's pretend that this bar is still up and running. If I was in the NHL and had all that money, I would have single-handedly funded this bar to keep it alive. It was called the Cozy Inn Tavern, right on the lake, right by the Kenmore Airport, which is seaplanes. Looks out over that. It's got a beautiful back deck. It was a horribly, horribly kept and run down place, but it had so much charm and character. If I won the cup, I would be marching down the hill from where I used to live down to the Cozy Inn, and I would post up in that bar on the back deck drinking Rainiers. That's what I would do with it. That's the first, like, I've thought about that embarrassingly like a million times. I think that a lot of people eat stuff out of the cup. I tried to think of what I would eat out of it. I'd probably just drink beers out of it. I think, do you guys remember what they said, how many beers the cup holds?
I don't remember exactly, but it certainly got to be a fair share of beers, like enough beers to make you feel that you've drank a couple beers.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I think it was something like 12 beers or something, 18. I could be totally wrong, but I want to say it was somewhere in that range.
Yeah, it's probably, I mean, just looking at it, I'm assuming that it's somewhere in that 12 to 15 range if I had to wager a bet on it.
I would put some ice cold Rainiers in there. Yeah, that's what I would do with it. I am curious to know what would each of you guys do? Do you guys have a like an establishment like that you post up at it with, or like, is there a food you guys love to eat that you would mash out of the Stanley Cup?
Yeah, I would probably try to eat, like, if we can make it work, like an entire Thanksgiving dinner out of the Stanley Cup.
That's like awesome.
Turkey, mashed potatoes, some stuffing, some green bean casserole, some, like, I'd eat anything out of it. I mean, I know that thing has been in probably more places than is healthy to consider eating anything out of. But, I mean, you got to trust that they clean it well enough that it's old. It's old regardless if they clean it. I mean, it's 1 mil. What's the worst you're going to get? Like, dysentery? I mean, what's the worst you're going to get? You just go to the bathroom a couple of times and whatever. That, I'd eat, like, a Thanksgiving meal, or just, like, I love Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I would just get, like, as much as I could fit in there and just douse it with milk and eat that and be done with it. Like something like that. Or yeah, just like entire Thanksgiving meal out of the Stanley Cup, I think would be an absolute great memory.
That's amazing. I love that idea.
I think for me, because I was thinking about this as I was putting the outline together. The only thing I would want in there are like chicken parm hoagies, as weird as it sounds. Just put like as many like hoagie-esque sandwiches as you can put in there. And there's not like, I mean, there are a couple of long-standing establishments in my small town that are still going, but like I don't have any sort of attachment to those places. So for me, well, the one thing I do know I would do, if I wasn't taking it anywhere, I would just put a ton of food in it and I would just eat the food out of it, like sandwiches, spaghetti. I really don't care. I'm just putting all the food in the cup and just eating out of the cup for a day.
A la Phil Kessel with the hot dogs.
With the hot dogs, exactly, yeah.
All right, Garrett. So here's another question from Brian. Do you feel like Evgeny Malgin and Sidney Crosby are underappreciated by this younger generation?
So this is a good question, but a question that I'm curious about, because we don't really have... How do you define a younger generation? What is the cutoff point for a younger generation? Because, I mean, I would say that myself, Snail, and Robbie are all three, you know, young individuals. You know, we're not on the wrong side of like 40 or 50 or anything like that. But and from a personal perspective, it was drilled into my head early on while watching hockey. My dad told me all the time, and he still tells me to this day, that you do not take these players for granted, because you don't know if you're ever going to get greatness like that in front of you ever again. It could be a lifetime after Crosby and Malkin retire, it could be an entire generation before you get another elite player, another game changer like that in your hometown team. So it's one thing that I have constantly said on this podcast for years now, to tell people to not take what you watch on a nightly basis for granted, because the closer we get to 2026, 2027, 2028, at the end of this era, I mean, because we all know, let's be blunt, Crosby, Malkin, and Letang are closer to the end than they are the beginning. And I think Robbie and I talked about this on an earlier episode. Both of us are in agreement that when Crosby and Malkin retire, it's not going to be as bad as it was in the early 2000s, the late 90s, those teams that they were icing, dealing with all the financial hardships and whatnot. It's not going to be that bad, but there's not going to be the same buzz around the arena because Crosby and Malkin put those butts in the seats. For however longer that they play, I encourage everyone not to take them for granted. Even if you're younger than me, if you're an 8, 9, 10, 11-year-old, you're dazzled by the speed of Connor McDavid, or you're excited about the prospects of Connor Bedard dominating the league at 18, 19, 20 years old. With Crosby and Malkin being 36, 37 years old, and if you're not entirely familiar with their entire body of work, YouTube is free, and those kids have time, nothing but time on their hands. Go on YouTube, and if you haven't, well, just watch old highlight packages of how dominant those players were 10, 15 years ago when they were just young bucks. Question number 7 goes back to Robbie. This one is from Brian. Robbie, we have another food question this week, and it's another nostalgic question from Brian. He wants to know, Robbie, if you remember the braided pretzels and the cheddar bacon cream cheese dip that the Penguins used to sell inside PPG Paints Arena. I'm assuming this was PPG Paints Arena. It could have been the Mellon Arena, for all I know. I was so upset, Brian was, when they stopped selling this particular item. So, Robbie, do you remember these special pretzels and special cream cheese dip?
I cannot say that I remember the cream cheese dip in my braided pretzels. I'm assuming like hair braids, not just normal soft pretzels, is what I'm getting at. So I can't say necessarily remember those either. The cheddar bacon cream cheese dip sounds absolutely phenomenal. And I'm always down for a soft pretzel. And I do believe they still have soft pretzels at the arena somewhere. If it's maybe like the just the normal selections, those concessions, the basics or whatever they're called. I can't remember what they call them exactly, but it does sound phenomenal. But I'm always down for a soft pretzel with some either mustard or cheese dip in general. So yeah, I would be all over that. I do not recall that specific concession, but based on what's being said there, that does sound phenomenal. So yeah, that would be sorely missed if that was something that they did sell at one time. That'd be great. Question number 8, also from Brian. This one's going to Snail. Which hockey moment stands out to you as the greatest? Brian says to him, the golden goal by Sidney Crosby is one that he will never forget.
Well, Brian, I agree with you. I think I remember I was in high school and Iggy to Sid, golden goal. Like I remember that moment, and just, I mean, I'm not Canadian, but that was awesome. Like that was an awesome moment in hockey lore. If you're, you know, I guess if you're a Penguins fan, you know, that was Sid, and Iggy joined the team for what, 20 games a few years later. So that place also holds, or that moment holds a place near and dear to my heart as well. If this is hockey moments and not just Penguins moments, I mean, when Ray Bourque lifted the cup, I remember that was, you know, that was a pretty cool moment, you know, one of the a real feel-good story in hockey. Longtime veteran, played for the Bruins his whole career, and then goes to Colorado and wins his cup, right? Like that's, and I think that kind of story has set like once a veteran kind of starts to get up in age, you start thinking about that that situation. You're like, could this be like a Raymond Bourque moment for this player? So the Chris Kunitz knuckle puck, was that triple overtime or double overtime?
Double.
Yeah, that was
double overtime. I mean, dude, I remember watching that and just throwing myself onto the floor in my basement at my old house. Like every summer I rewatch that game on YouTube. I think his name is like Sarge something on YouTube. He has all these old full games on there. I watch that at least once or twice a summer. I would say those three moments. Yeah, I agree with you on the golden goal. Ray Bourque, that one just kind of popped into my head. It's just a classic good moment just in hockey history, I feel like. Do you guys agree or is that weird?
No, the Bourque one's great. I still watch that on YouTube occasionally too, just because one, it's Gary Thorne, and it's just such a like euphoric, like you could just feel the energy coming out of the screen even now. It's just such a great, it is a great moment. Okay. I will agree. I definitely agree with that. When you said that, I was kind of nodding my head. I'm like, yeah, that's a really, really, really good moment. As a neutral, I mean, I was looking back, I was a Colorado fan because I didn't want the Devils to win, but a very, yeah, very cool moment. And still cool to watch back on YouTube as well.
I feel like that was almost like one of the first, maybe like championship or Stanley Cups. Sorry, not champion. Stanley Cups. That was like, it was almost like an individual winning it, and it wasn't so much like the team. Like a lot of you know. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, because I mean, Sakic just took the cup and handed it right. Like
right,
handed, just turned around and handed it to him. There was no. I mean, that's. I mean, if you go back and look, I guarantee you that's probably the only direct like. Basically, they gave it to the captain that he didn't even do anything. He just turned around and handed it to somebody else.
I think the only one comparable to that would be when Ovi got his cup in 2018. It was like the Capitals won, but it was like Ovi got his cup. And I would think that like that Ray Bork one was like the first one where it was like Ray got his cup.
Yeah, that's fair.
And then, yeah, the in 2017, the double overtime knuckle puck from Chris Kunitz. I mean, dude, that was like that made the hair stand up on my neck. That was a just jaw-dropping drama there. So let's see here. Question number 9 from Brian. Are we happy with the Paul Skeens pick?
You can tell that Snail is from the Pacific Northwest because Paul Skeens goes number 1 overall to the Pittsburgh Pirates in the 2023 Major League Baseball draft. I should have gave this question to Robbie. He seems like he has a bit more love for this city's baseball team than I do. But here's what I'll say about Paul Skeens. I don't think really the Pirates, I mean, I guess they're the Pirates. They could have butchered that pick in a number of different ways. But from what I gather, and I don't gather too much because I'm not a prospect evaluator, Paul Skeens could realistically pitch for the Pirates. He could skip the entire minor league system and pitch for the Pirates by the end of the season. He could probably pitch for the Pirates tomorrow and arguably be their best pitcher. That's how depleted the Pirates system is. But what I will say about Skeens, given his resume, after he transferred to LSU, he wins the College World Series. He wins the National Pitcher of the Year Award, the Dick Houser Trophy. He was named the College World Series Most Outstanding Player. I know that Skeens has a pretty devastating fastball.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
I am excited about the possibility of watching this particular player in a Pirates uniform. That is, of course, until he hits probably, what, age 25, 26. And then by that time, the Pirates aren't going to pay him $30 million a year, and he'll go be successful with the Houston Astros or the New York Yankees or the Los Angeles Dodgers, and that's where he'll go off and win his World Series championships. Boston, the Boston Red Sox, perhaps, you know, the big market teams. And I say that, obviously, as a jaded Pirates fan, and as much as I have grown out of love with baseball in this city. Robbie, I know you've talked baseball on the podcast before, so I'll let you in on this conversation as well. I mean, overall, Robbie, I have to feel like you echo some of this, at least some of the same sentiments that I'm saying. Whether or not he stays after his arbitration years are up, that's another story for another time. But I'm pretty satisfied with the pick that they made, and I'm about as jaded as I can be with the Pirates. So, I mean, I imagine you're pretty thrilled with the pick that they made.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, going into the draft, there was a lot of nerves whether or not they were going to actually make that pick, if they were going to go with the high school kid or someone else. And I would have been happy with Cruz too, but given what they need pitching wise, Skeens was like a no brainer, and super pumped that they got him. I'm really excited to see what he can do, because every chance that next year at this time, he's already in the majors and shown off his stuff. So fingers crossed it all works out. But yeah, I could not have been happier with that pick when they finally did make it.
All right. Question number 10 goes to Robbie. This question, again, comes from Brian. And this could be a three-person question. He will include Snail in this one as well. Is anyone here trying the Heinz ketchup-flavored ice cream? So, Robbie, Heinz is certainly a memorable brand here in the Pittsburgh region. Are you trying this ketchup flavored ice cream? I think I'll pass.
I'm absolutely passing. That does not sound good. I'm not really a fan. Like, I put ketchup on stuff. I'm not a fan of ketchup by itself at all. It needs to have either fries or on burgers or nuggets or something, but by itself, no. And that to me just does not sound appetizing whatsoever. So I'm going to join Garrett there, and I'm going to pass.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I love ketchup as a condiment, but you know, ice cream. That's when I want ice cream. I want it to be sweet. Gonna have to pass on that as well. Are there people out there that like ketchup in that like that much in that capacity? Like, are there people that maybe see ketchup as not a condiment and more as like a main
I mean,
course?
I know people that put. I don't know about that, but like. As like a condiment that goes on everything. Like, I've seen people put ketchup on pizza.
That is disgusting. Oh,
come on.
I mean, I don't want to say that people. I'm sure there are people that can take it where they can put it on a spoon and eat it.
Oh, but,
I mean, I've
God.
Seen people use ketchup as a condiment on stuff. That, I've seen them put it on mashed potatoes.
Oh my.
Yeah, just you know, anything. I mean, you could theoretically put it on anything. But I am a very, like, my ketchup use is strictly on traditional stuff that ketchup would go on. Now, I do put ketchup on, like, scrambled eggs just because I'm not a huge egg person, and that's really the only way I can eat them. Other than that, it's, like, burgers, chicken patty sandwiches sometimes, fries, your traditional stuff that you put ketchup on. Nothing out of the ordinary. I don't put it on, like, pizza or... I've seen some people, they put it in their spaghetti.
No. With the sauce already in there?
Either or.
Oh my God.
Like instead of like a marinara or like a red sauce, you're putting ketchup in it?
Yeah, no. I've seen people put they'll use it as their sauce.
Oh my God. I am oh my God. I am just turned off by this conversation.
Yeah, I'm ketchup. In a very traditional sense.
Same here. Like you said, Robbie, I'll put ketchup on eggs. I'll put ketchup with my fries, with my hamburgers, with my hot dogs. I know some people think ketchup and hot dogs don't go together, but I mean, imagine there has to be at least one person out there who, like you would do with peanut butter. You know how some people Oh yes.
No.
Oh yes. You know what I'm, you know, yes.
No.
Oh yes. Someone has to be out there.
That's like buttering your toast with ketchup.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Lord. Oh, imagine you guys are going on a date and like she's making you some, she's like, we're going to have an Italian dinner tonight. And you go over there and she's making pasta and she's like, we're having spaghetti. And then just a whole bottle of Heinz ketchup in it.
No, I'd be gone. I'd be out the door. That's not worth it.
I don't know.
It's not worth it. Unless it's like Scarlett Johansson, it's not worth it.
I don't know. I'm pretty desperate over here, fellas. So
I'd have to be very desperate to eat. Because I'm just, that's one, it's unnatural to begin with. Two, it's a condiment, not like a sauce. I'd rather eat barbecue sauce on spaghetti than I would ketchup. No.
I think you're onto something. Barbecue
yeah,
on
I don't
spaghetti.
Know.
We might have to.
I mean, if you give me the right barbecue, good barbecue sauce. Is really hard to beat, especially if it's like a homemade barbecue sauce, like you get at some barbecues, pulled pork places. I love barbecue sauce though. I can eat barbecue sauce on about anything. I mean, you have barbecue chicken pizza. Have you ever had that or
oh yeah,
oh yeah.
Don't tempt me with a good time.
Yeah, I mean barbecue sauce is my, but ketchup. Just please use it in the traditional sense, and don't make me think that you're a weirdo freak.
Please drink it responsibly.
Yeah.
Add us on Twitter with what you put ketchup on.
Yeah, literally, if you have something super weird.
Yeah, sure.
If you have, if you listen to this episode and you have something that is out of the ordinary, that's not a typical hot dog, hamburger, fries, that you put mustard or any condiment.
Yeah, let's sure. Go
any I don't care. If maybe you put mustard on your peanut butter and jelly.
Oh, my God.
But if you use a condiment in a non-traditional way, please let us know so we can shame you.
Only food, though, please.
Yes, yes. Don't, if you use it in a non-food setting, please keep that to yourself or the weird Reddit board that you're on.
Hey, I'm not one to yuck yums. I mean, hey, if they're having fun with, you know, their peanut butter, their, you know, hey, I mean, that's their prerogative. They are more than inclined. I am an all-inclusive person when it comes to, you know.
But yes, please let us know so we can have that discussion next week about whether, how weird our listeners are if they put ketchup or any condiment on a non-traditional food entity.
Please do. Also, isn't it not Twitter anymore? Isn't it about to be called X?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Or is that X. A meme?
No, that's a real thing. As of right now, it is a real thing. So if you are on whatever social app you want to call it, hit up our podcast and we will talk about it next week here on. And Brian, this question is for you that you have to answer. Are yes. you going to be trying the Heinz ketchup flavored ice cream? And two, do you put your ketchup on anything weird that we should know about so we can judge you next week? So, Brian, when you listen to this, you better send us a message. I will be watching.
All right, Robbie, close us out. Send this last question to Snail. I got this one waiting
yes.
for me.
Yes, this is for Snail. This was specifically basically asked for Snail. It's from Brian. Basically obvious if you're from Pittsburgh, how you became a Penguins fan. But Brian wants to know how you, Snail, became a fan of the Penguins living all the way out in the great Pacific Northwest.
Growing up, I transitioned at a very young age from like cartoons to I became a sports fanatic. Like I wasn't watching Nickelodeon and Disney Channel when I was in elementary school. Probably from like fourth grade on, I would watch it like kind of, but like I was like FSN, which is like Fox Sports Net.
Yeah, we had that too.
Okay, so yeah, ESPN, ESPN2, and then out here in the cable that I grew up with, we had a Canadian network. I believe it was like TSN. For some reason, we'd have like TSN or something on a really high channel that they were probably, I don't know if it was an accident or why we had it, but I would be able to watch hockey on there, the 7 o'clock games out here in the Pacific. So basically I loved all sports. I was watching a lot of baseball mainly. I watched football, basketball, tennis, hockey. I was consuming a lot of media too. And this was like before I really knew how to use, I mean, the internet was still a lot younger than it is now. I was consuming a lot of sports media, and I got to admit, like when it came to hockey, I was big fan of Jerome Iginla, Brendan Shanahan, Steve Yzerman. And then this kid got drafted to Pittsburgh, Sidney Crosby, and he was exciting to watch. Again, didn't have the sports packages that we do now back then, but ESPN was covering him a lot at that time. Or was it ESPN? It was like, I remember watching like Versus and shit. You'd see.
Yeah.
There was a lot of coverage of this exciting kid, Sidney Crosby, and it was captivating. And it was also like, what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of like, I mean, I didn't have access to watching him all the time. So you're hearing about this exciting buzz coming about this exciting young player who was a budding superstar, had a lot of expectations, but he was like, I mean, they call Sidney Crosby the best like fourth liner in history, right? Like he's not like you're, I mean, he's got all the talent in the world that he's worked really hard for, but he's kind of plays with this edge, and he's like a gritty rookie. Anyways, I just remember the buzz around him being so exciting, and you know, as I got a little bit older, the buzz continued. Then they got Malkin when they went to their first Stanley Cup final against Detroit. And they lost. I just remember that was an awesome storyline. This kind of like older franchise, or not older franchise, an older core. And then you have this team kind of headed by this young superstar. And it was kind of that storyline, and maybe, yeah, that storyline, as well as just kind of Sid taking this franchise and kind of putting it on its back. And yeah, just it was just exciting, man. It was just a lot going on. It kind of came out of nowhere, being out on the West. There wasn't a ton of hockey going on out here, so that was kind of a it was a big deal. I think as for you guys were in the mix. You guys were, you know, in Pittsburgh. I'm sure that get a big wave of like hockey fans kind of in Pittsburgh?
I mean, I was born into it, and it was right at the peak of like the Mario like cup runs is when I started. Mm-hmm. So like I don't really remember like it ever just like consuming everything all of a sudden. It was just basically they were great. They've basically literally been great my entire life. I think I told Garrett like right after the season ended, of my 33 years or 34 years watching hockey, they've made the playoffs like 29 times or something like that. In my lifetime, they've won more cups than any team in the league. And it was there. Like there was like a drop in the early 2000s and then the resurgence with Crosby. But basically my entire life, it's been just a hockey mad city. And I was just born into it, kind of the same way I was born into being a Steelers fan as well. I mean, it's just who you cheered for out here where I live. So, and I'm assuming Garrett's very much the same, especially the Steelers are a different animal than the Penguins, but it's basically the same concept.
Piggybacking off of what Robbie said, it was basically the same thing for me. I was born into it too. However, I will say that as Snail was giving his life story, mine was kind of the opposite to how Snail became a sports fan. When I was really young, like in kindergarten, first grade, second grade, I really didn't care all that much about sports. It was just, I mean, my dad would obviously turn on the Pirates, the Steelers, the Penguins, and it would be on in the background. But I never sat down to make that my primary focus. I was just always focused on doing something else, whether it was me being outside or playing PlayStation or whatever. It wasn't until a little bit later. I remember, I think it was the 2009 Cup win. That was like the first real memory I have of being a real like hardcore in the weed sports fan. And I mean, you could call me a bandwagoner at that point because I had hopped on right when Crosby and Malkin were winning that cup, but it is what it is. To what Robbie was saying, that's kind of, you know, ever since then, I was what, 8 or 9 at that time. And since then I have basically made Pittsburgh sport my almost entire identity. So yeah, if you're from here, you're really born into it. As Robbie so accurately mentioned, this is a blue collar sports town at the end of the day. And people who are from here are proud of it and want it that way. That has become their identity. And that's just how, at least in terms of Robbie and myself, that's, you know, how we were brought up, being so close to the city.
You know what it kind of reminded me of a little bit was, it happened out here in Seattle, was when Ichiro came onto
Ichiro,
the scene.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So when Ichiro popped onto the scene, I think that there was kind of a rejuvenation in Seattle, like in baseball in Seattle. I'm not saying that's the same as in, I mean, the Penguins have been good for a really long time. But just a few years, well, quite a few years, 4 or 5 years after Ichiro, that's when like this beacon was kind of happening in hockey, and that got onto my radar, which was like Sidney Crosby. And then, yeah, I think it was that cup run where they went back to back, losing the first one and winning the second one, that it was like, wow, this is like, they're going to be good for a really long time. This kid is amazing. They have Malkin amazing also. And yeah, I think that's, I could sum it up with just pretty much that. And then they've been exciting to watch every year. You know, every year I look forward to it. So I hope that kind of answers your question. Pretty much just a longtime sports fan. And when Sidney Crosby kind of popped onto the scene, that got my attention. And he kind of reminds me of like a Messi, or like what have you. Like, just a very, as a sports fan, he has all, he checks all these boxes that just make you want to keep watching him. Drive, tenacity. He just checks a lot of boxes for me. And then the Penguins for so long have been so fun to watch.
All right. With that said, we're going to close out this edition of the PensCast mailbag. And like Robbie mentioned, we have something to look forward to over the next 7 days, because now I am invested. I am too invested. And I genuinely hope that we get a good, decent number of responses, at least through, you know, when I send out the mailbag tweet next week. I want to know how demented some of these, and I mean this in the best way, how demented are you? What do you put ketchup? What do you use ketchup for? Do you eat it with a spoon like peanut butter as Robbie does? Or, you know, do you douse it on toast or spaghetti? Please, I am invested, too invested in this now. And that's what I'm going to be looking forward to as we look forward to the next episode of the PensCast mailbag. Until then, until next week, for Snail and for Robbie Noggle, I have been Garrett Bahana. Thank you so much for listening to this edition of the PensCast mailbag. And we will talk to all of you again this time next week.